So Mike came up to me a while ago, and he said, you know, when I was first a Christian, I would praise the Lord with my head up and, you know, just praise him like nothing. And he said, lately I've been like this. And then he kind of prophesied, and he said, the Lord wants to be the lifter of heads this morning. And I said, you know what? That kind of fits, because I pray that this is an encouraging sermon this morning, okay? Or talk, whatever, I don't care. So, with that being said, we're going to kind of talk about people today and their actions. And I hope you brought your steel-toed boots, because I'm going to step on some toes just for the first 10 minutes. And then it's going to get encouraging. But that's okay, because I started this about 6 months ago, developing this. And I've been stepping on my toes for 6 months, so you're not the only ones. But I guarantee when you leave, you'll be greatly encouraged. And I'm going to give you some things to show you how to be continually encouraged in the Lord. Okay? Kind of like David when he came back to Ziklag and everything was gone. The enemy came and took everything, his wife, his kids, his property, and then his men wanted to kill him. So it said he encouraged himself in the Lord. So I'm going to give you some ways to do that this morning. Okay? So John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it to the fullest. So I'm going to kind of compare and contrast what the enemy does and kind of what the Lord does, okay? So there's two very different ways that people react to things, okay? But first I want to talk a little bit about human nature. Talk about introverts and extroverts. So when I'm talking about these introverts, look at me. When I'm talking about the extroverts, look at John. So introverts are quiet and reserved. Extroverts are talkative. Introverts hide in the background, and extroverts love to be at the center of things. Talking to people and crowds wear us out, and it energizes extroverts. We kind of shy away from attention, and they love it. We kind of hold things close, bottle things up, and a lot of times they just kind of tell everything. So we tend to participate less in conversations because we're processing things, and by the time you get to where something that you want to say, they've already moved on to three things ago. So you don't get to say it. And the extroverts are the first to participate in conversations, okay? So we introverts, we think to speak. We process things. And extroverts usually speak to think. So they're processing while they're speaking. So, but all people have coping mechanisms, all right? So I'm going to tell a few things here. I'm going to tell a few things on myself, so, but I mean, stories are mine. I don't have anybody else's stories. I know if I had radar stories, I'd tell his, but I don't. So anyway, when I was younger, I don't know why my family would do these things, but they told me that I'd never get married because no girl would ever have me. But that kind of turned into, in my late teens and early 20s, me thinking I was actually a ladies' man. I wasn't. I just thought so. I was deceived greatly. And they also told me that I'd never amount to anything. And that kind of led to some explosive anger issues in my life when things didn't go my way. One example, John, you might remember this. We played on a church basketball league. We had a good team. John played. That guy can jump. Used to be able to jump. And when things didn't go my way, I would explode verbally on to officials and everybody else. And I was asked politely never to come back to a church basketball league. So, always being put down, you're told you're wrong, or speaking and nobody acknowledges that you're saying anything. Okay? Quiet, withdrawn, kind of a loner, sometimes a homebody. Sometimes in dealing with things, we deflect in different ways. Like some people become the class clown, heaping insults at people, becoming a know-it-all, you know, things like that to cover up some of the hurts inside. Some are abused physically and emotionally. And again, they divert by doing different things like being a class clown, never taking anything seriously, stuff like that. But being told that you're nothing and being hurt or rejected by people that's supposed to care about you, always insulting others and pointing fingers at their flaws first. So strike first. That's what the enemy wants you to do. Strike first so they don't hurt you. Or like being told you're stupid and good for nothing. Sometimes that leads you to become somebody that always wants to interject their opinions and stuff like that with different people. So those are just some examples, mostly from my life. Some of you may wear those things too. The enemy comes to destroy. I'm not saying the enemy causes things, but he messes with people. I just read the book of Job lately. He caused a whole lot of stuff to happen to Job and his family. A whole lot of stuff. Okay? So, my wife didn't realize that she married Rain Man. I count everything. There's a church in Tallinn called St. Olaf's Church. It has 324 stairs to the top where there's an observation deck where you can see the whole city and all over the area. It has 324 stairs. I've counted them twice. Stoplights. I used to count stoplights, red versus green. And if the green won, I won. If the red won, I lost. But you know, it affected me. Because when I lost, I was down. I was not good, you know. But the enemy destroys relationships, separates people, because they hate the one thing that God desires the most. That's love and relationships, marriages, families, and friends. But you know what? The enemy is sneaky because he hides behind people. Okay? So, I might step on some toes. So I hope you brought your steel-toed boots. The enemy gets people to say things that they don't really mean because they're having a bad day. So since they're having a bad day, they'll say things to other people that they really don't mean, but it just kind of comes out. The enemy doesn't know everything, but he's very observant. He's been doing this for a long time. He knows people's weaknesses. And he knows how to exploit them, okay? Because he can get someone to tell a lonely person that nobody loves them. He can get someone to tell an angry person to strike out at strategic targets because they may strike out at you, or they did something you think they did something that they really didn't. He may get someone to tell an insecure person that they're fat, or ugly, or stupid. None of us would do that, would we? Okay. Maybe a time or two. He can get someone to strike first and hurt them before they hurt you. That happens a lot. Also, the enemy gets people to self-medicate to escape through drugs or sex or alcohol. That happens a lot in our society. The enemy can get people all worked up, and he tries to turn their anger on their family and abuse them physically, emotionally, or mentally. Or my favorite that I'm still guilty of a lot, he'll cause another driver to cut you off, pass you, or nearly run into you to get you all worked up and start yelling at him, or waving a almost closed fist at him. I'll explain that one later to you if you want me to. But what happens is that the enemy, he tries to get this cycle going in everyone and everywhere, this cycle of hatred, this cycle of, you did this to me, I'm going to do it to you. I'm going to do this to you before you do it to me. You know, this whole evil hatred cycle in people. But that's not the way God is. The enemy tries to destroy relationships, but God restores relationships. Amen? So God's plan is to break that cycle of hatred and interject love, forgiveness, sympathy, selflessness. So his plan is to gather people through church, through family, through marriages, through friends. The enemy's here to scatter, disperse people. God's here to gather people. So God's plan is to turn that hate into love, that explosive behavior into gentleness, that meanness into caring, that those insults into compliments, and those put downs into buildups. So one the enemy tries to get you to do, and the other God tries to, that's his plan for you to do. So what happens is the enemy takes our vulnerabilities and turns them into weaknesses, and then he exploits them in us. God takes our vulnerabilities and strengthens them and helps us to overcome them. So, this next part here, and you've got it written down there, we need to tell ourselves what God says about us on a daily basis, that encouraging ourselves in the Lord. So I've got 21 things here from the Bible of how we can encourage ourselves in the Lord. Okay? Psalms 119:68. You are good and you do good. Teach me your statutes. Amen? Let's say that together. You are good and you do good. Teach me your statutes. Philippians 4:19. Yeah, you guys know a lot of these. Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply every need of mine according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. I'm going to read that again. This is so good. I may read all these again. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. If you have any need, God will supply your needs. Jeremiah 29:11, one of my favorites. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity. To give you a future and a hope. I mean, that's what he has for us. He has a plan for your life. A good plan. A a plan that will, that of prosperity, of body, soul, and spirit, and not calamity, in order to give you a future and a hope. James 1:17. Hey, you're keeping up with me. Good. I appreciate that. That's awesome. James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. So he doesn't change. So every good gift comes from him. Amen? Every good gift comes from him. Say that. Every good gift comes from him. Isaiah 41:13. For I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not, for I am the one who helps you. Wow. If God helps you, who else's help do you need? Right? I mean, if you've got God on your side and he's the one helping you, do you need anything else? Do you need anybody else? I mean, yeah, we need each other, but oh my, oh my. That's like your big brother walking behind you when you're going through a bunch of bullies, right? Second Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to bless you abundantly. Wow, that's so good. God is able to bless you abundantly. Say that to yourself. God is able to bless you abundantly. Wow. So that in all things, at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work. Oh my. How good is that? How good. Now this next page, you're going to have to stand on your heads. I did that on purpose. No, I didn't. So continuing on the next page that's upside down. John 1:16. Out of his fullness you have received grace in the place of grace already given. So he gives you grace upon grace, grace and more grace, grace and more grace. And you know what we're supposed to do with that? Extend to other people grace upon grace. Grace and more grace. Grace and more grace. So there's a guy in this room. I don't know who he is, JB, but he is the most grace-filled person I know. So he's like, we're talking about people, this guy, and he's like, I'm like, why are you giving him so much grace? And then I remember the grace he's given me, and I'm like, oh, okay, my bad. I get it. He's given me a lot of grace in my life. A lot. Deuteronomy 28. God, these are so good. Amen. Wow. That's why, one of the reasons why I make sure they print them for you, so you'll keep them. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands that I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on the earth, and all these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You'll be blessed in the city, blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, the crops of your land and the young and your livestock, the calves and your herds and the lambs and their flocks. Your baskets and your kneading troughs will all be blessed. So basically he's saying, everything about you will be blessed. Everything, if you follow him. Ephesians 1:3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. So he's already done it. He's already blessed us. He's already blessed us with everything that we need. These are so good. Can't remember who I got them from, but they're really good. So, Lamentations 3. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never ceases, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. So the Lord's loving kindness, it never ends. It never ends. His compassion never fails. New every morning. He has new mercies for you every morning. New mercies for you every morning. And great is his faithfulness. He's always faithful. Always faithful. That's who he is. He can't be anything else. Isaiah 41:10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be anxious. Do not anxiously look about you. Sorry. For I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Wow. Do not fear. How many times when things come upon us or situations that the first thing we do is we start worrying. We start fretting. We start fearing what's to come or what may come. Don't fear. It says, don't fear. I am with you. I'm with you. I'm with you through the good times. I'm with you through the bad times. I'm always with you. Don't be anxious. Don't anxiously look about you at all. For I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Man, wow. He is so good. So good. All the time. And then Matthew 6:33. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and then all these things will be given to you as well. Got a few more. Philippians 2:13. It is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. So he's working with you every day to fulfill not your good purpose, his good purpose in you. I would rather have his good purpose in me fulfilled than mine any day. It's so much better. You know, I've lived a long time now, and every time I try to do things, my own things, some of them are good, some of them are not so good. But whenever I'm doing his good purposes because of him, it can't even compare. There's no comparison. I mean, I didn't even know how good it could be. And yet, here I am experiencing it because of him. Wow. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. So he's able to do much more. I mean, we can imagine a lot of things. Some people have a bigger imagination than others, and my imagination is pretty big, but it doesn't even compare to his. Not even close. Not even close. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power, that's his will to work with us. So if we are relying on him and his power, you're going to have a wild ride. You're going to have a wild ride because it's going to be good. Isaiah 40:31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. That's really good for older people like me. You know, when I was younger, I could fly. You know, I could jump, I could fly, I could run, and I didn't get tired. But as you age, you start getting tired. But you know what? With the Lord's wind in your sails, you can still go and go and go and go and not get tired. Okay? He promises it right here, and he does it over and over and over and over and over again. Isaiah 1:19. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good things of the land. Wow, the good things of the land. That's what he has for you. He has the good things of the land for you. Psalms 84. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. The Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. So it's like, you can't say that it doesn't apply to me because I'm not blameless. Because God says you are blameless. You're not sinless, you're blameless. You're blameless because of him and his son. Okay? So this applies to you. I'm going to read it again and apply it to you. Don't dismiss it. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. The Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in him. So this is talking about us, you and me. Wow. Psalms 146. Blessed are those whose help is in God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. That's why we can hope. That's where our help comes from, through the Lord. James 1:12. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trials, because having stood the test, that person will receive a crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. So, perseverance. When I was teaching, I would tell my kids the difference between a winner and a loser. You know what it is? Perseverance. It's what it is. It's perseverance. If you don't give up, and that's what it says here, blessed is the one who perseveres under trials, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Okay? So persevere. And then he gives you kind of a challenge here in Psalms 34. It says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. So it says, test me and try me. Test and see that I'm not good. And you can take refuge in me. Then Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Man, hope, 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 hope. You know what this world needs today? Hope. They need hope. So many people are hopeless. And that's what they need. They need hope, the hope that's found in Jesus Christ. That's what they need. So what we have, that's what they need, is the hope. So these 21 verses, keep these. Put them on your refrigerator. Put them in front of a mirror. Say them every day. These, saying these to yourself encourages you in the Lord. I mean, how many feel a little bit more encouraged now than they were earlier? Amen? I mean, you can't read these without being encouraged, right? You can't. You can't read these without being encouraged. Ephesians 4:31 and 32, we're commanded. This is kind of a command from the Lord. It says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice, and be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you. Just as Christ forgave you. Think of how much the Lord has forgiven you. That's sobering, of how much he's forgiven you. And that's what we're supposed to do with other people, is forgive them. So you know what? If we concentrate on these things, and then in the following verse here, you'll find out that all that other stuff will just kind of fade into oblivion. So if you concentrate Let me read Galatians from the city of Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have been crucified in the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep this in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. So again, let me give you an example first. So there's an example. I heard this story about in the Northwest. It's like there's not very many people in the Northwest. Right? It's like wide open. They have this one highway that I don't remember which one it was, but there's hardly anything there. But there's this one sign. It's a road sign that has been hit numerous times, like hundreds of times. The same sign. No other sign. That sign. You know, roads get a little slick up there sometimes. And what they said is that when drivers start losing control, their eyes fix on the only thing around, which is that sign, and they end up running into it every time. Every time. I can't hit that sign. I can't hit that sign. I can't hit. Boom! And they hit the sign. Because you know what? What you get your give your focus to, that's where you're going. That's where your concentration is. You gravitate towards what you're looking at. So don't look at getting rid of bitterness and rage and anger. Look at love, peace, patience, kindness. Concentrate on that. Concentrate on that. So don't, like, I'm not going to sin. I'm not going to sin. I'm not going to sin. When you're saying that, you're kind of backing in to sin. I'm not going to sin. I'm not going to sin. I'm not going to sin. And you're staying close to it. But if you turn and have your eyes on Jesus, Jesus, my Lord, love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and where are you going? You're gravitating towards Him, and that's leaving what? It's leaving the bad stuff behind, right? James 1:27. Pure and unblemished religion, as it is expressed in outward acts, is in the sight of God and the Father, is this: to visit and look after the fatherless and the widows in their distresses, and to keep oneself uncontaminated by the secular world. So we're supposed to be in this world, not of this world. Okay? So again, another command that keep yourself uncontaminated by the world. Don't pull on people. Oh, one last page. No matter what happens to you, or what people say to you, you have a choice of how you react. You have a choice. You can perpetuate the cycle of hate spurned on by the enemy, or you can choose the Spirit. You can choose the Spirit of the fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, spurned on by the Holy Spirit who lives in you. So you can either choose to keep going on that cycle that the devil wants you to be in, or you can choose life. No matter what happens, choose life, choose love. That's what we need to do, is choose love. Like that song, The Jesus Way. Everybody heard that song? I choose the Jesus way. If you hate me, I'll love you. If you beat me, I'll forgive you. I choose the Jesus way. Deuteronomy 30:19-20. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God and listen to his voice and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That applies to us too. Okay? There's a lot of verses this morning. I didn't realize there's so many. It's all right. It's a good book. I recommend reading it. Romans 14, 19. So when you pursue these things which make for peace and the building up of one another. So that's the important thing, is instead of looking for opportunities or just reacting and tearing people down, look for opportunities to build people up. That's what you need to do, is look for opportunities to encourage people. And whenever you say something to people, be encouraging to them. Be encouraging to them. John 26, whoever serves me must follow me, and wherever I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. So you'll be honored in serving the Lord. So in serving the Lord, though, we need to keep our eyes on him and choose life. Choose to build each other up, not to tear each other down. And that just doesn't mean our friends. Uh-oh. That means people that we don't like sometimes. That means people that get on your last nerve. That means drivers on the highway that are being idiots. I have a hard time with that, but oh well. No comments. So before we close, I wanted to share something else too. Is what you say, long pocket, what you say and stuff to people, building them up instead of tearing them down, makes a huge difference, and it could make or break their day. Periodically, my wife goes up to her hometown. She hates going up there because all they do is talk about how old she's getting and how gray her hair is. I think my wife rocks that salt and pepper look. I think it's awesome. You know, I do. I think it's awesome. And she's had other people tell her that, how do you get your hair to look like that? That's natural. God did that for her. And it's natural. It's awesome. But she dreads going up there for days. They're just going to talk bad about me. And she's affected by it for days. And then afterwards, they do it. And she comes back and she's affected by it by days. Well, they said this and they said that. This week, yesterday, she went up there. She had a craft fair up there. And she was dreading it, as she always does. And this time, I mean, we've done it before too, but we've prayed, I prayed, she prayed, and stuff. And she was talking to someone from the town that she grew up in. I mean, they kind of grew up together. She was a little bit older, but she kind of grew up together. And her daughter was there. Well, Michelle had her daughter in class over 30 years ago. And she turned to her mom and said, Mom, Mrs. Kelly just never ages. Just never ages. So her new nickname is the ageless one. The ageless one. So she came home encouraged. She came home. I mean, she had to call me on the phone. You'll never guess what happened. And she didn't have anybody say anything bad to her yesterday, probably for the first time. But see how much difference it makes when someone is nice and someone's not nice? You could be making someone's day just by doing something little and nice for them. Let's be people like that. Let's affect the people around you. Let's affect the area around us. Because right now, a lot of people think that this country is going to hell in a handbasket. But we can affect that. Everybody's so negative. Everybody's mean to people. We can affect that. We can change that. Starting with us. being nice to people, being loving and caring towards people. So in every situation, choose love. Choose love. Ephesians 4:27, it says, and do not give the devil an opportunity or a foothold. So when you don't choose love, you're giving them an opportunity. You're giving them a foothold. And that's, you're perpetuating that cycle of hatred. Let's not do that. Let's start a cycle of love and love and love and kindness and gentleness. So always, at all times, choose to encourage people. Choose to encourage people. We have a choice. Let's choose to encourage people. So these 21 encouraging scriptures that I gave you today, keep them. Look at them. Read them. Go through them every day. Encourage yourself in the Lord every day, because so often we need that. Because you know that for every negative thing said about you, you need 7 positive things to counteract that. So you need to tell yourself this. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Encourage others in the Lord by telling them that. Telling them these things that I've given you. And last but not least is encourage yourself in the Lord and encourage others in the Lord. That's the kind of people that we want to be. That's the kind of people I want to be. That's the kind of people we want to be here at Harmony. We want to be encouraging to people. We want to spread love and kindness and gentleness in everything, no matter what happens. So we're going to choose the Jesus way in everything. So everybody stand up, please. Pray for people. So we kind of felt like there was a little bit of prophetic flow this morning. So I'm going to pray here in a second. And if anybody needs prayer for anything, if they need healing or anything like that, we're going to have our prayer team come on up while I start praying. And let's pray for some people today. Let's encourage some people today, okay? So as I pray, you guys can come on up, prayer team, and anybody else that needs prayer. So Father, I choose the Jesus way. I choose to choose the Jesus way every day. Lord, help me to encourage myself in the Lord. Help everyone here to encourage themselves in the Lord. And Father, I pray that we would put on love, patience, peace, kindness, gentleness, and encourage one another always in all things. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray that you would touch your people this morning. Luke 5:17, the Lord was present to perform healing. So, Lord, I pray that you would be here, Lord, to perform healing with your people and for your people.
As Kurt was sharing this morning, we spent a lot of time in hospitals here a couple times in our lives. And I can remember when Kathy would get really, had a lot of trouble with fighting being septic and all that kind of stuff. And one of the things that happened and seemed to work the most was vancomycin's a big bad dog antibiotic. And you get that on there and I would say, listen, something's going on here. We need to do something. And they would say, just let us get that medication on board and it'll change things. And sure enough, they hook it up and within a short period of time, temperature would go down and things would happen. That's what it's like encouraging people. It's like if you can get encouragement on board, if you can get that, it's like putting courage in people. That's what encouragement does. And when you get that on board and get that in them, then things begin to happen. Things change. And it might not be courage that needs to go. It might be compassion or just attention, affection, direction, any of those things. But when the Lord uses his word to speak to us, that's how that stuff gets in. It's like an inoculation. Oh, yeah, I can do this. Or at least, I think I can do this. Well, that's all you got to do, get to that place. And so what comes out of our mouths oftentimes in releasing courage or compassion or whatever it is, they that need it don't do well without it. And that's why it's significant for us to be carriers, so that we can be able to give it away quick and easy. And the wonderful part about it is that if it's speaking or praying for someone, sometimes it's just a smile, an act of kindness, like where you're not bagging on them and everybody else is. That makes them feel like that's good, you know. Those things that happen and get inside someone, now things can begin to turn just a little bit. And, you know, I don't know if I'm going to make it to the end, but I'm going to make it to tomorrow. Good for you. Sometimes that's all you need to do is get them to the next mile marker, to the next step. And so if that's helpful, I just want you to see, think of times that someone's spoken something to you and took a weight off or put a spring in your step again or whatever. You can do that. And you don't even, sometimes you're not even conscious of having done it. But if it's in there on your shelf, you can get it off your shelf and into them. I think that would be a reason to stay encouraged yourself, so you have something fresh to give away. So if anybody else wants to come be prayed for, please do. I just felt like there's commandments in there for us, and we needed to be able to respond to them, to consent and obey, Isaiah says.